present the news quiz with your chairman, Barry Took.
Hello and welcome again to the news quiz. We start with a cutting from The Independent, read by Catriona Young.
Kevin Pratt of Dover, a learner driver who passed his driving test after 24 attempts, was stopped by a traffic warden shortly after leaving the test centre when he drove the wrong way up a one-way street.
Well, thank you, Dick Langford of Brighton, for sending us that. But now let's meet the teams. Will you welcome first, on my right, Richard Ingrams, and representing Private Eye, Francis Ween. Facing them on my left, Alan Corran and BBC newsreader Chris Lowe. Before we start round one, here's some boxing news from the Bangkok Nation.
Terry Norris successfully defended his super welterweight title against Carl Daniels last Saturday. The bout was stopped after Norris pinned Daniels to the ropes and then knocked him to the canvas with a pair of combinations.
Well, thank you, Richard Gibson of Kincardineshire, for sending that one in. Richard, your question. Who found the peers no fun at all in Brighton?
Well, everyone's a peer nowadays, aren't they?
That's right.
Lord Parkinson, Lord Lawson, Lord...
Help Chibbit. Us.
Lord who?
Lord help us, I say.
I take it the reference is to Lord Major, or Mr. Major. Is he Lord yet? Lord Lamont, who's...
You've mentioned everybody but the one in the question.
No, but the one who was upset was Major by being stabbed in the back or stabbed in the front, repeatedly by Lord Tebbit and Lady Thatch, who wrote an article in Maxwell's old paper. Did you read it?
Nope.
No, I didn't read it. It was very disrespectful of the Prime Minister.
Was he really? Yes. What happens?
I don't blame her at all.
Oh, hello, I see, yes. It was John Major at the seaside where he got an earful from a mad, rambling handbag lady. This was Lady Thatcher's anti-ERM article in, of all papers, The European, which is a bit like Basil Brush writing for Horse and Hound. Boom, boom. Or rather, recession, recession. Francis. What Sony boy plans to make a night of it?
Ah, this is Mr. soon-to-be Sir, in brackets, Akio Morita.
Oh, quite right.
Who is the founder of Sony, and his main contribution is making the Sony Walkman. The Queen right. is apparently very impressed by the Sony Walkman and has personally decided to honour Mr. Akio Morita.
Absolutely right. It is Akio Morita, the Japanese industrialist, who has been awarded an honorary knighthood for his contribution to British industry. His Welsh microchip factory was so successful, it had to move to smaller premises. When asked how he felt about the honor, the Mr. Small of Japanese business replied, Chris, welcome to the programme. Which minister's hat-trick was beyond recognition? Is your question.
Which minister's hat-trick was beyond recognition? This is my first time on the programme. I was told if you don't know the answer straight away, there shouldn't be a silence. You should at least give the audience the benefit of your thoughts.
If you're supposed to hear the noise of my pen scratching.
Which
I haven't when I know the answer.
Well, I can give you a slight clue. You wouldn't be gilded if you were this man.
Is that a slight clue?
Francis knows.
I know only the answer. I can't tell you why. He's called Peter Lilly.
That's right.
What was the question?
More?
What was the question again?
The question was, which minister's hat-trick was beyond recognition?
Ah, it's the cricketing connection.
He made a speech connection. And sang a very bad spoof Gilbert and Sullivan song, but I don't know if that's anything to do with hat-tricks and recognition. All I know is he's called Peter Lilly.
That's right.
I can say no more than that.
Well, that's about all anybody knows about the man. That's the whole point of the question. It's this question is about Peter Lilly, who finally achieved the recognition he deserves by winning a Most Invisible Cabinet Minister Award for the third consecutive year. He was due to be presented with a trophy, but nobody knew what he looked like. Lilly, or as he's known at home, who... was recognised by just 5% of the electorate. Runner-up in the anonymity stakes was Michael Howard, who had such a low visibility, his cabinet nickname is P-Super. The bespectacled environment minister achieved a poor rating despite being recognised by over 98% of the voters. The only trouble was they all thought he was Lloyd Grossman. And now, Alan, have a listen to this. Well, that was Appearances by Carol Grimes. And the question is, where are the signs not good for the summit?
I think we ought to have got 2 points for not knowing Peter Lilly. I mean, the whole point of that question. I think we're talking about Birmingham, where everything is on sale. And you walk through a street in Birmingham, it's like the field of the cloth of gold, and all these escutcheons hanging out of houses that are on the market. And this is where the European summit's going to be. And Birmingham thinks if it takes the signs down, nobody will know it's in trouble. That's probably one of the reasons Birmingham's in trouble. But anyway, they want to remove all the for sale signs and pretend that Birmingham's a booming city, and this will impress the Germans no end.
Absolutely right, absolutely right. Yeah. The organisers want to create the impression the city is recession-free. Yes, they're moving it brick by brick to Germany. And the scores at the end of the first round are quite remarkable, really, because Alan and Chris have scored 2, but Richard and Francis are in the lead with 5. We start round 2 with a cutting from the West Briton.
On the second day of the livestock market held in Truro, when 3,000 animals passed through, the sewage system unfortunately failed to work. As a result, the whole area was flooded, and effluent ran down the road for a quarter of a mile towards the city, only stopping at the traffic lights.
Well, thank you, Ella Bate of Bodmin, for sending us that. Richard, wer hat Vorsprung Duke Technik gesagt?
Is it something to do with Germans, Barry?
Germans could come into it.
It seems to me they've suffered enough in this programme already.
Well, this chap is only sort of indirectly German. The Duke is the clue.
The Duke of Edinburgh?
No, no, no.
Time we had some reference to him in this programme. He is, of course, a German. he's not. No, I tell you, I know.
Wer hat Vorsprung durch Technik gesagt?
You've said all that before.
Well, I'm not going to waste any more time with you. I'm going over to the opposite side and ask Chris.
We think it's the Duke of Kent.
You're absolutely
who
right.
Who has been telling British exporters that they should learn German, because that's the most important trade language in the world, according to the Duke of Kent. Whereas linguistics experts say it's either English or it's French, but it sure as hell ain't German. Germany is 17th in the list of most popular languages for trade negotiations and trade deals to be sorted out in. Duke of Kent, wrong.
Silly Kent.
Well, thank you, Chris. It was the Duke, or as he's known to his friends, Baron von Battenberg, Saxe-Coburg, Gotha and Bundesbank of Kent, and his family are already well acquainted with the Teutonic tongue, frequently using expressions like ja, which of course is German for ja, and nein bitte, which means no more for Margaret, she's gone on to shorts. Francis, your question now. Where did £400 fail to oil the palms?
Well, after our disaster on the last question, I'm sure Richard is going to come to my help on this one. Oil, palms, £400.
Elections.
Elections, Kuwait. The opposition won the election in Kuwait. The anti-Emir faction, the militant tendency. And he then dissolved Parliament and announced he was going to form a new government, which would be broadly sympathetic to his progressive policies. Is that right?
Absolutely.
Like that.
Very good.
He hasn't explained about the £400.
Well, there was some sort of attempted bribe, I expect. We don't concern ourselves with the little details here. Right. Yeah, there's the broad sweep. The broad sweep of history. We can't really afford to get bogged down in that sort of thing.
It cost you £400 to buy a voter in Kuwait.
That's right. Still, even this is quite an advance in a region where a show of hands from the opposition can be done by postal ballot. The return sitting of the new parliament will be the first since 1986, when the ruler silenced his opponent's accusations that he was unable to accept political criticism by closing the place down indefinitely. So, Chris, now, here's a piece of music for you. And your question is, who reckons he's got the tin tack for making too many brown bread?
That's a man called David Yallop, who was widely regarded as having the right answer to the wrong soap opera. He was hired to sort out EastEnders on the basis he claims... I'll have to be a bit careful about this, because it's a court case involving the BBC, so I must watch my P's and Q's. But basically, he was hired to reduce the size of the cast and make the whole thing much more interesting and exciting. And his plots, it appears, involved IRA bombings, and that was not acceptable to the corporation hierarchy, the result of which was he was, as I understand it, fired, and he's now suing for compensation for £70,000 because he had these wonderful plots, which in the end nobody wanted.
Brilliant answer, absolutely right. It's claimed that Mr. Yallop was hired to introduce more humour and at the same time cut the number of characters. Instead of the obvious, a nasty accident involving a lorry load of laughing gas, it's alleged that he wrote a storyline in which several characters died in an explosion. A barman was paralysed and a shopkeeper shot dead. In the EastEnders, that counts as the humorous bit. Whatever the outcome, he can always sell the scripts to El Dorado. If he's quick. Alan. Just a guess. Alan, what good burgers fear a takeaway takeover?
Oh, this is the Good and Bad Burgers of Hampstead.
It is.
Nearly on my doorstep. And if it were my doorstep, it would be covered in those crinkly bits of plastic, which should be what the hamburgers are wrapped in, but are in fact the hamburgers themselves. I have to be even more careful than Chris, because McDonald's have got more money than the BBC and have better lawyers. But anyway... they have managed, after 12 years of argy-bargy, to get Camden Council to grant them planning permission or whatever you need to put a McDonald's in Hampstead High Street, where there used to be a bookshop. I mean, this is the sort of clash that really frightens people like Melvin and Glenda. I have to tell you, the bookshop has been shut for some years, because Melvin and Glenda are elsewhere eating hamburgers.
Absolutely right. A local opponent denied residents were snobs by stating, "We voted Labour at the last election." So they're used to decisions not going their way. Any time will tell how the Hampstead glitterati will react to the burger invasion, especially since they're the type of people who think a Big Mac should only be worn with green Wellingtons. And a thick shake is a don't know at the Kuwaiti elections. And the scores miraculously have changed. They are now 7-7. Well done. Great recovery. We start round three with a court report from the Gloucester Citizen.
Drug peddler Michael Wilkinson had ecstasy concealed in his underpants, the court heard yesterday.
Thank you, Terry Dinham of Stonehouse, for that one. Richard, who enjoyed doing time before coming out again?
Is this Lord somebody or other?
No, it's a lady somebody.
I think Francis knows. I mean, it is a titled person.
It's a Distemple.
Everyone is either titled or royal.
Susan Distemple. So she seems to have changed her Christian name while she's in prison. She's called something else now, I noticed, from
Cecilia.
Her lecture in the Telegraph. She's calling herself Cecilia. But when she was convicted, she was called Susan, Lady Susan, sometimes. And she's just been released from prison and wrote a letter to the Telegraph saying that it was quite a pleasant experience in lots of ways. But they were very bad-mannered because they often split their infinitives and didn't pronounce words correctly. Many of them had Liverpudlian accents, but apart from that, it was quite delightful.
Exactly so. Well answered. The Baroness found the worst part of prison life was hearing speech with constant double negatives. Seems odd, the Birmingham Six never mentioned it, really. Oh, well, it was the torture to spit infinitives that got to me. You're right enough there. The aristocratic trickster, whose posh accent raised a few eyebrows, also complained of unnatural practices among inmates. But then she thinks sex is what you have the coal delivered in. Francis, will you have a listen to this?
Driving along in my automobile, I'm soaking wet behind the wheel. An open top, it might be posh, but it's no fun in a car wash. Drowning and playing the radio with no particular place to go.
Well, that was Lenny Henry singing No Particular Place to Go, and your question is, whose guide might give you a breakdown?
Yes. Car questions I tend to pass to my team captain here.
Drawing Masonic symbols on his pad. I can't.
I am, yes. I'm hoping that Doris Stokes may come to our rescue.
To do with cars, obviously, isn't
yes.
it? So from that, we can assume that... we can't assume anything. We just have to assume...
The thing is too
we
short,
just have to roll over and...
It's... The AA guide.
AA guide.
I mean, normally when you break down, the AA come round and sell you the Book of British Birds. Caravan insurance and a chance to go on the treasure trail and win a sun-soaked holiday for two on the Polish Riviera. But on this occasion, they fell down in their public duty. They produced the AA guide, and nothing is where it's supposed to be. It's because nobody at the AA has looked at a map for about 20 years. They're too busy flogging Reader's Digest encyclopedias.
Very good. It is the AA who published a hotel directory which lists certain hotels in the wrong towns and then compensates by listing the towns in the wrong counties. No wonder their repairmen take so long to find anyone. They've put bits of Leicestershire in Lincolnshire, part of Yorkshire in Humberside, have moved Whitley Bay 50 miles inland. Imagine, lovely sea view, only 5 days' walk from the beach. Chris, who don't want to make room for a load of froth and bubble?
Who don't want to make room for a load of froth and bubble? You're already about, Barry, to give me a clue. That was the sight of Barry wishing he was pouring a pint of beer down his throat, but he wasn't. But I am getting quite close to this now. I can actually... if my partner, when he was writing, would have his hand not too close to the bit of paper concerned, we would be able to find out that I can't read his writing. Alan Coyle might be a distinguished journalist, but like many distinguished journalists and GPs, you can't read a word they say.
I'm prescribing beer glasses. At a pub where they... it's bound to be about Imperial and litres, I think. There are very big beer glasses, and in order to get the stuff up to the top, you've got to put all that spit in.
It's near. Yeah. This concerns legislation requiring the frothy head on beer to be served in addition to the pint instead of as part of it. The introduction of a larger glass has been attacked by pub landlords, but greeted warmly by playwrights, and could add... start and could add 10 pence to a pint. Curiously enough, this act is one of the few remaining pieces of legislation left over from the last Labour government, along with the introduction of Gas Street Lighting Amendment Bill. Alan, what's extremely dim, out of this world, and has its picture taken at number 10? No, it's not John Major. No, don't do that.
It's not the new planet Smiley.
It is the new planet Smiley.
It wasn't anywhere except the Times. They had this dot, which... there are two people in Hawaii that like John le Carré, and they were looking through their telescope, and they saw this thing and said, let's call it Smiley. They have strange people in the world. I don't know why number 10. Is it shaking hands with Major or something?
It's the 10th planet, isn't it?
Yes, that's right.
Oh, it's the 10th planet.
This is absolutely right. This is the discovery of the 10th solar system planet. Official title, 1992 QB1, but being called Smiley by its discoverers because they were discussing John le Carré at the time. It's just as well they weren't EastEnders fans.
Ah, look, Wicks is in the ascendant.
Similarly, the astronomers who found Pluto were big fans of Popeye, and an earlier group were munching on a chocolate bar when they spotted the planet Toblerone. Make makes you wonder what was going on when they named Uranus. Anyway. Scores at the end of round three. Richard Ingrams and Francis Wee, 9. Alan Corran and Chris Lowe, 11. Before we start the final round, here's an item from this week's Sun.
Two police officers who spotted a roadworks snarl-up in Northfield, Birmingham, used their initiative and promptly redirected traffic down a side road. The jam cleared, but in minutes the irate drivers were back after turning to get out of the cul-de-sac.
Richard, here's a piece of music for you. I don't have to tell you that was Chas and Dave singing Rabbit. The question is, what four-legged fiend was bugged by a bunny?
Well, this is Norman Tebbit again, who... the so-called Rottweiler of the Tory Party, who attacked Mrs. Thatcher in the lake. No, attacked... It's actually a real rabbit that ran amok and attacked Mr. Bean.
You can't read my writing.
Oh, sorry. No, it attacked a dog. It attacked a Rottweiler.
That's right.
And the rabbit had to be put down, I think.
Had to be taken away.
Had to be put down and subjected to euthanasia. as so many people are nowadays. When they get past it. No, or over the top.
Yes.
Well, one of the things you have to get used to is that the stories on this programme are inverse proportion to the things that are going on in the outside world. So when you have a fantastic crisis and everything, they ask you bloody silly stories about rabbits. And, that sort of thing.
It's a, pardon me, a very interesting, fascinating and deeply moving story. It's all about Bo, the poor defenceless Rottweiler, who was severely bitten in the backside by a savage rabbit. Sorry, rabbit. It was a rabbit called Roger.
It was Major and Tebbit. It was Major and Tebbit.
While Bo was taking
Lord
a snooze...
Sorry.
Shut up. While Bo was taking a snooze, Beelzebub's bunny hopped up and delivered a nasty love bite that has left Bo a nervous wreck. I'm a nervous wreck. Oh, dear me. I've got a rabbit in his throat. Like a hairy frog.
You've got the hairy frog.
A hairy
again.
Frog in the throat. Yeah, never mind. They come up through the sewers, you know. But they stopped at the traffic light. See? Francis, what case proved to be plain sailing for the boys in blue?
Oh, this is a couple of policemen who were sent to Acapulco, probably, because something had happened on a cruise liner.
That's right.
Some misdemeanour, as it seemed. So they immediately rang Scotland Yard and said, can you send your finest people out here to solve this mystery? By the time the police got there, it turned out it was all an accident. Meanwhile, there weren't any flights back to England for several weeks, and the police are working very hard on this boat, doing deck coits, that sort of thing. And I think they're applying for political asylum.
It's a nice start. Yes,
shame they've already got 200 confessions out of passengers, you know.
I rather like doing deck quites, or I'm doing you deck quite. Several crew members are still assisting the police with their inquiries, such as, is the bar still open? And would you mind accompanying me onto the dance floor, miss? Chris, your question. Whose crusade just isn't the ticket for drivers?
My teammate is scribbling away merrily here. You wouldn't think I was a guy who's supposed to be in the news business full-time, would you? Present the Today programme and all that kind of thing and really know exactly what's going on and then and actually have the ability to answer everybody else's questions like the Francis one just now, and I sit frustratingly thinking, I know that one too. Then when it comes to my turn, I have to read his writing again. And all I get down here, oh yes, I remember it now. Yes, got it. Came to me like there's a guy, it's not in England, of course, it's across the water in the States. I think it might be in Washington. And there's a guy who has been rather fed up with parking meters and traffic wardens, and has actually been going around, in the interests of the community generally, feeding them when they run out, feeding them, so that his fellow members of the human race aren't prosecuted for overstaying their welcome on their parking meters. And it's a very laudable aim, and we should get him over here at Smuttish.
Yes, absolutely right. It's David Jeter of Washington who's conducting a one-man crusade against traffic wardens by walking a few yards ahead of them and putting money into expired parking meters to save fellow drivers from a fine. Ticket Buster has tried collecting from his debtors in person, but they always seem to drive off just as he comes round the corner. Alan, your question is now, whose tale of marital despair is driving him nuts?
This is Michael Douglas, who's gone into a clinic to have his sexual addiction cured.
I did see
it must
that.
Be that, yeah.
No.
Well, this thing about marital and nuts must be about... It must be about Michael Douglas's...
I don't think you've quite grasped the nature of the question.
It's not Jerry Hall.
No, it isn't Jerry Hall.
It's not Michael Winner.
Is it somebody called Roy Oren? Know it? Anybody? Whose marriage ended because of squirrels. The disgruntled pest controller claims his wife left him because of a massive squirrel explosion. And if you've ever... And if you've ever seen a massive squirrel explode, it's not a pretty sight. He was kept so busy that even in the pub, his bleeper would often call him away to another squirrel shoot before he had time to hide his packet of dry roasted. That's all the information I have on that one. Before we reveal the final scores, let's see what cuttings the team have brought along. Richard?
This is, again, more distressing news about euthanasia.
Oh, really?
From East Sussex. It says... Wasps' nests destroyed, £20. OAPs, £12.
Francis.
This is an advert from the Glasgow Herald from British Home Stores for an intimate apparel manager at their Glasgow branch. And it says, applicants must possess a dynamic hands-on approach.
Lucky old Glasgow, Chris.
Mine is from the Daily Star of a day or two ago. Police called to investigate a suspicious buzzing sound coming from a car in Redland, Bristol, discovered a 9-inch sex aid rammed up the exhaust pipe.
Alan, what have you brought with?
Well, I've got one from the Leicester Mercury, which proves we're still two nations, Barry.
Oh.
It says, the house and its 10,000 acres of parkland have been in Lord Denbigh's family since the early 14th century. The previous owner, who appeared in Leicester Crown Court last Tuesday, claimed he had thrown the television set through the window after finding his wife in bed with a neighbour. What one about a vibrator and exhaust pipe?
Well, thank you all very much indeed. Let me look at the final score. And heavens above, it's 13 all a tie. Well played, everyone. Before we leave you, here's a cutting from The Independent on Sunday, sent in by Brenda Jones of London.
Police in Roosendaal, Holland, have arrested a Nigerian found in possession of 186 false papers. The man had 29 Nigerian passports, 30 British passports, 74 Dutch work permits, 12 British driving licenses, 18 birth or death certificates, 2 British student cards, an international driving license, and 20 forged checks. Police say they aren't yet 100% certain of his identity.
And with that, goodbye.
Martin News Quiz for Richard Ingrams, Alan Corran, Francis Ween and Chris Lowe. The chairman was Barry Took and the news was read by me, Katrina Young. The programme was written by Ian Pattinson and Robert Fraser-Steele. The producer was Colin Swash.